Okay, so where are we? Where were we? We have been talking about hearing God's voice. We've been specifically covering the area that his voice is our choice, and that is God is speaking, but it's our decision to receive, to hear, to pick up on the fact that he's speaking. Until we make an active decision to listen, it's very easy to tune out anything, right? Some of you are tuning me out right now. Huh? My voice is your choice right now. some of us, like when you know, we get the honey-do list, we're not really listening, right? Because it's our choice not to take that thing into captivity and say, okay, the most important thing right now is my spouse and that list, right? Oh my gosh, you people, are you alive? Do I need to pass around mirrors and make sure you fog them? All right. You do. You don't want to say amen to the honey-do list. Okay. Well, thank God this is not about a honey-do list. Jesus didn't get married, and there was a reason for that. he only needed one Lord in his life. all right. I got nowhere to go. all right. Right, Jesus gets all our honey-do lists. We're always telling him what to do. All right, so let's pray before, you know, we just distract ourselves. Jesus, we just invite you to speak. We invite you to take over, and we thank you that you want to speak. That's who you are. You're a God who loves to be heard. You're a God who loves to change and to speak life. You're the God who even spoke life into darkness, and suddenly the world was created and the universe, God. And so we just recognize that your voice is the thing that brings us to life again. And so, Lord, bring us back to life inside every dark corner, every dark place. And, Lord, any part of us that's already alive, then, Lord, just pour gas on that fire, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we were in Matthew 11. Where we left off, and Jesus was speaking in verse 27 when he said, "My Father has entrusted everything to me." No one truly knows the Son except the Father. No one truly knows the Father except the Son, and to those the Son chooses to reveal him. And in that spirit of, "I am trustworthy," if you hear that in the underlining part, like the Father said, "Son, you're so trustworthy, I'm going to give you everything, not just a little bit. Not just partial responsibility, right? Son, you are so trustworthy, I'm going to give you everything," right? Now, what does the trustworthy son say? He goes to God's world, whom he loves, and says, "Now come to me, all of you who are weary," right? "Take my yoke, give me your heavy burdens, and I'll exchange it," right? "I'll teach you, I'm humble." You know, I mean, just like, I want to look at the heart of Jesus today. Today's sermon is called, "His Voice is Safe." It's safe. If you've ever had an experience where you thought you heard the Lord, or maybe someone else thought they heard the Lord, and that thing sat upon your heart and it was anything but safe, it probably wasn't him. Like, we can do that. And what I want to look at the same time as we say his voice is safe, he is humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls, I also want to recognize, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when the weirdo came up to you and said, "The Lord is telling me," and it was brash and it was harsh and hurtful, and it took you, you know, by surprise, and it's like, that didn't feel like the safe voice of God that I know, right? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, "God doesn't speak today. I don't believe in prophetic people. I'm done listening to others. It's just me and Jesus and the Bible, and that's it." Right? Because God often chooses to speak through the people of God to the people of God. And so we have to open our hearts to people and test it, right? The word even says, you know, to judge that which is spoken. That's okay, to judge what is spoken. And if it's not true, it's like eating chicken. Eat the chicken, throw out the bones. But don't throw the whole chicken out. I can't eat chicken. It's got bones. You're going to run out of meat real fast.
You just have to put it on a shelf.
Put it on a shelf.
You get a word and it doesn't come to pass immediately, but years later,
sure,
you realize that it was an accurate word.
Right.
Sometimes you have to.
Not everybody can hear you. Right. So Kathy's point was sometimes you put it on a shelf. So if it's, you know, something that's not within your purview, and you have no idea of proving that that thing was or was not God, then shelf it, and then it'll play out if it is, right? My point was more about if anything pushes up against that piece of your heart that says, yeah, that was the safe, trustworthy voice of Christ in my life. If anything pushes against that, man, I really ask you to do your homework and hold it before the Lord and judge that voice. Measure it up against Scripture. If it disagrees with Scripture, then that is not the voice of Christ. So that takes us to the next piece, which was last week. We were looking at the woman who committed adultery, and, you know, there was a man involved too, but the Pharisees didn't see fit to pull him into the show. They just pulled the woman in, and they were like, hey, the scriptures say to stone her. What do you say, Jesus? And Jesus' response was very consistent with himself over the years. He wrote that law that said stone someone caught in adultery. And so when they're like, Jesus, the word says stone, but what do you say? And Jesus can't be inconsistent with himself. That would be ridiculous. That would mean he's like schizophrenic or something, borderline, and he's not. And so he said, yeah, go ahead, stone her. Just the person who's without sin, throw the first, right? And then each person got to thinking about it and say, you know what? I'm standing here holding this rock because I have an agenda. I'm not stoning this woman out of my passionate love for the Savior. I'm about to stone her because I want to make a point and trap Jesus. And the guilt and the truth just broke the heart, and they all dropped their and walked away. The law never changed, and the voice of Christ never changed. And yet somehow in that moment when he said stone her, but hey, you know what, the first person who's without sin, throw that first stone, there's a moment where your heart says, that's a safe word. I know that's true. I don't like it. I don't want to stone people, but yeah, and I have sin too, right? And you just sort of melt into who he is. Amen. I don't like that one. I'm keeping tabs. All right. Jesus' spoken words will remain consistent with his written words, okay? He will not contradict himself. So if you hear a voice that does not agree with Scripture, go with Scripture. But then the other piece of us is saying, but then why do I need the voice of God if I just have Scripture? Well, because for those of you who have any relationship in your life, who wants to keep that relationship as a pen pal only? Any takers? No. So, I mean, God is looking to have a live relationship with us now. He wants to have the written experience with us, but he also wants to have the living voice experience in our life too, right? Right? And you might be like, well, I'm not sure. Well, guess, take it this way. There's an enemy who's actively speaking right now into your ears. He's an accuser. He's a liar. He's a thief. Right? He's actively speaking. So what are you going to do? How are you going to combat that if you don't have the voice of the Father speaking live and direct to your heart as well? Right? So if you're going to give the devil that place in your life, don't deny the Father that place in your life, right? All right. So some of you might be saying too, it's like, well, I'm totally all in. I just never heard his voice, and I don't know if I'd recognize it when I heard it. And that's okay. Like, there is no class where you can stand up here and say, now this is God's voice. Everybody, listen, we're all going to hear him right this second. But what you learn is you learn that safe place of his voice. And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not listen to. And so as we discuss these things over the weeks, I'm laying down like lasagna. Little meat, little sauce, little noodle, right? And over time, it's going to get deeper and deeper, and pretty soon, you'll recognize the heart of the Father as he begins to speak to you, right? It'll become familiar, and so just thank him for, just thank him that he's a God who loves to speak. Thank him, be grateful. The gratitude unlocks the heart toward God, okay? Which is to say, anything other than gratitude, oftentimes overshadows what God is trying to say and makes you think more about yourself, your problems, your mopiness than it does about the voice of God. Cool. All right, so I want to look at some scriptures about the safe voice of God, and we're going to look at them through the whole gambit of now we're in a really hard time and he's speaking, to I'm in an awesome time and he's speaking, and we're just going to find his safe voice by just looking at the way other people experienced his voice and then wrote about it in the scripture. Cool? All right, so flipping first to Lamentations 3, or it's on the screen and there is no flipping. So Jeremiah, the prophet, is speaking here. When he's praying to the Lord, he's in a really hard time, and you'll be able to tell by the first verse here. But remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood, the gall, the drama. You know, you can just hear it. Oh, my soul continually remembers it, and it's bowed down within me. You know, you've ever had those moments where you just feel like your stomach is so clenched up, you just almost could physically bend over and hold yourself? Yeah, only a couple. You New Englanders are so tough. We guys, like younger, more emotional Florida guys, oh yeah, we're like, oh, this sucks. Oh, right? Before the Lord, right? All right, cool. I think maybe Jeremiah was actually a southerner. Okay. So verse 21, but this I call to mind as I hold my ribs and as I groan, right? I call to mind, that's an active decision, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is spoken by the guy holding his ribs and complaining. Your love remains forever. It is steadfast. You are steadfast. You are merciful, right? You never change. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Right? Yeah. And it makes you want to let go of your ribs a little bit. Right? Your soul connects with the hope of God, and that voice speaks louder than the voice of the gall and the wormwood, if I can use those terms, even though we don't use those today, right? But we all know what it's like to face the depression of the situation, the anger, the injustice, the frustration, having something ripped out from underneath you. We all know what it's like, right, to be brokenhearted, disappointed. And you can choose to stay there. And I'm not talking about, hey, change your attitude. It's mind over matter. It's positive over negative. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about connecting with the fact of who God is. Even though you're bowed down within you, you will call to mind his goodness and grab onto that. And he is safe and he is steadfast. And there's never been a time that he's been dangerous, hurtful, and had to come back and say, I'm sorry. He's not your father, your mother, or your lame boyfriend, right? He's not. He's not. He's consistent. All right, call to mind. Some of you just need to write that down. I need to call to mind the steadfast love of the Lord that never changes. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, right? Call it to mind. Continuing on with Jeremiah, and I know you guys, half of you probably have this on your refrigerator. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, right? Says the Lord, right? All right, can we throw the verse right before it on there, Jeremiah 29:10. That's not on anybody's refrigerator, okay? This is exactly what you do not want to hear. These people were exiles in another nation as the Lord was speaking. They had been captured, kidnapped, brought to another place, and now they're serving as slaves, okay? And the Lord says, you will be in Babylon for 70 years, and then I will come and do all the good things I've promised, and I will bring you home again. Anybody want to say hallelujah? Hallelujah. It's a hallelujah, and it's a, dang it, 70? Can I get out in 15 for good behavior? Right? Right? But you know what I love is, like, even in the disappointment, 70 years, are you kidding me? Comes this other thought that's like, but I see that you're promising you will come and do the good things you promised. You'll bring me home. And it's like, I don't like this answer right now. I want a better answer. Right? I want to turn this in for a different reply. Can I get a replacement, please? Right? And sometimes the word of the Lord is not what you want. Sometimes it is. It's always good. And I see goodness in this. First of all, the 70 years, this is not the first time they'd heard this. Okay? Like Isaiah had been promising them, if you continue down this course, you will be captured by another invading army. He said it would be the Babylonians. Oh, look, it's Babylon. He said it was going to go down for 70 years. He said, for every year that you forsook the Sabbath in your life, for every year, I'll give you a year in captivity. And so for 70 years, these people ignored the Sabbath. What's so big deal about that? Because that was the day where they stopped doing all their work and they came before the Lord and they just embraced him. And he was tired of being turned on and forgotten. So for 70 years, you do that to me, for 70 years, fine, you get to go sit in all of the consequences of your decisions. But I'm not leaving you there. Harsh word, right? But safe word. Safe. I won't leave you there. And then he gives us the magnet, refrigerator magnet verse that we all can plug in, right, as we're hurting over the situation. And I'm not making fun of and making light of. This is important. Put this on your refrigerator. Put it on your light switches. Do everything you can to put this in your mind, because when there are moments where the Lord said, no, you know, I'm not moving that right now. I will, but I'm not moving that right this second. Okay, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good, not disaster, and to give you future and a hope. You're not stuck. You're not dead end. It's a speed bump. It's not a brick wall. Right? Safe word. He's a safe Jesus. He is in control of this process, and we can celebrate that fact, even though we may not always like the process. We can celebrate the fact that he gets to be God over that process, and his ways are perfect. Karen and I are going to celebrate. Okay, let's look at another one. Do you like this? Okay, it doesn't take a whole lot of talent. All I'm doing is putting Bible verses on the screen. So, all right, Zephaniah 3:16, kind of like John 3:16, only not. On that day, and this is spoken to another people who, they, you know, the same people, but from a different prophet, they understood that punishment was there. But he said, on that day, the day after your punishment's over, to Jerusalem will be cheer up. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. Hallelujah. We have a God who lives among us, right? They didn't even fully understand the depth of how it would be, but the Spirit of God is now living inside of every single person in this room. Right? This is not just I'm kind of floating out there sort of around you. This is I'm inside you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm the God who's always with you, consistent, safe, right?
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yes. So he says, the Lord God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. That's Jesus. There he is. Jesus is getting talked about in the Old Testament all over again, right? I love it. He keeps popping up because the whole thing's about him. He will take delight in you with gladness. Can you say the Lord delights in me? Do you believe it? Some of you actually went a little bit, right? Like, oh, I don't know if I believe it. Like, he delights in you, right? And it's more than just he wants to put you in his pocket and feed you M&Ms. He delights in you, right? He delights, like when he talks about you and the way you face the good, the way you face the bad, the way you just are you. And he's like, oh, I love that kid. I love that kid. He's special, but I love him. Right? Makes me so happy. Makes me laugh. Makes me glad. Right? And in my love, I want to just calm all their fears. And in my love, I just want to rejoice over that person. And I just want to sing them happy songs. Right? Like the Father is just singing. You know what that's like to make up these dumb songs. I make them up with Jack all the time. Make up the dumb songs that makes him laugh, but it's all about him or him, you know, him and Henry and their heroes and their fighters and their, right? And they love it. And it's, they'll make fun of me for one day. But they love it, right? And that's kind of what I just see. I just see Father God just, you know, just singing those happy, glad, joyful. Just anytime you feel that guilt, that, accusation, that failure, anytime you feel like you're hopeless, just think about a God who delights in you with gladness, and he's singing. And let that just sort of melt away, that hard thing, that voice that always shows, tries to make us believe we're unlovable or not worth it. Right? He's safe. He wants to calm all your fears. Did you see that? That's a promise. Someone needs to lock that one in, okay? If you want to pick up your phone and type it in, that's okay. I won't be offended. All right, he doesn't necessarily want to solve all your problems right this second, but man, he wants to calm all your fears as he walks you through that thing. Do you know what I mean? He wants to bring you through the other side as an overcomer. Growth and fruit and joy and a rescue story. Right? We're talking to Nicole, and there was a situation she was going through, and we were like, well, sometimes he is a 15 minutes to midnight kind of God, right? Sometimes he is. But he still solved the problem. He still did it right in his timing, and it was good, right? Okay, great. Better than good. But he wants to calm our fears. He wants to, shh, I'm bringing you through. It's going to be okay. You're safe. You're safe with me, right? But I want it now. No. Shh. Right? All right, Isaiah 43, 1 through 2. Yeah, it's your story. Matter of fact, for the folks in internet land, hand up, please. Thanks.
About the 15 minutes to midnight, it's through 2 years and 3 months of looking for a new house. It took forever. For all some of you that may not know, I wound up next to, where are you, Marguerite? Where are you? Oh, she's in nursing. Okay. So I wound up, Marguerite and I are neighbors in the same duplex. After 2 years and 3 months of looking, and wow. I mean, I came to Milford. I didn't even know Milford was a town in New Hampshire. I was, Milford, where's that? I'm a Bostonian, you know? And I found a single parent group through Gene and John, and he's just been calling and calling and calling and calling. And I met Marguerite there. I went to her church at that time, and then she came here, and we've always been friends, and then fast forward all this time, looking and looking, 2 years, 3 months, long time looking. And I mean, Zillow and I were joined at the hip. And he put me next to her. I there's no words. I mean, it's amazing. It's happy tears. But I wanted to say that through those 2 years and 3 months, there were many possible opportunities for my kids and I. They're not here today, they're with their dad. And I wanted out of that home so badly. It was a happy place, but it was also became a really negative place for reasons we don't need to go into, but there was, I don't know how many possible homes I was ready to sign on the dotted line for, and one particularly that I was literally dancing in my kitchen about. I was so happy. I was so ready. The landlord and I were just ecstatic and you know, seemed like a great fit. Oh my gosh, this is it. And literally on my way to go see it for the first time, I'm so sorry, Nicole, but my tenant's house fell through and she's staying. This is about a year and 10 months in. And I was so disheartened, and I wouldn't let myself stay disheartened. So I just kept pushing through and praying and trusting and just saying, okay. So I thought that was it. And there are times, whatever you're going through, whatever you think is it, is so clear. Yeah, this is it. And it's not, but you just gotta pray through it and look at the victory I got. It's amazing. My kids are outside playing on a cul-de-sac with about 30 other neighborhood kids. And they're outside, and they didn't have that at the old house. And you guys were our closest neighbors, basically. And everything is just, everything from the physical space of the house, the neighbors, the street, the setting, the location, everything. I'm every day I'm like, thank you. It's so awesome. Yep. So don't give up and keep praying through it.
That's right. Amen. And I'll ask you, and you can answer with a nod of the head, and that is, he's in the solution, but he's also in the waiting, right? Yeah. He is in the waiting times. Awesome. All right. So let's look at Isaiah 43. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. So that's Israel, but we believe, we look at ourselves as Christians, as believers, as the spiritual Israel, if you know what I mean. Like, you don't read this and say, oh, he's talking to Israel or the nation of Jacob, therefore it has nothing to do with me. The same heart of God is the same across all time, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said it, you know, to his people, and we're grafted into the vine of Abraham, then we are the spiritual beneficiaries of all that's being said here, right? Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. How did you ransom me? Well, I sent my son 500 years later after this prophecy. But I've ransomed you. I've called you by name and you're mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And somebody in here is like saying, can you take out the when word? Right? I don't like the when word. The when word reminds me that there are opportunities for rivers and waters and things I don't want, right? But it's there. I mean, he's like, even Jesus himself said, don't be deceived. You will go through hard times, right? He said that. It was like a promise. Yeah. In this time, in this life, you will have many troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Right? So this is sort of a regurgitation of that scripture being shown here. But when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Right? It's safe. He's giving us reality, just like every dad would give his kid a reality check. Well, it's kind of tough out there in this world, and you kind of have to have your stuff together. You got to know how to budget. You got to know how to interview well, and right, it's reality. But then dad's also saying, but I'm not going to kick you out tomorrow. We're going to work on this together, and as long as I see you working with me, you'll succeed, right? You know what I'm getting at? There's a safe thing in there that the father is exhibiting, that even when, I'll be with you, right? All right, let me keep moving before you check out. Romans 8, 31. You guys know this one, right? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Anybody quote that to yourself? Two people? All right. I'm going to pull some cool things out of this, I promise, all right? So you'll be glad we went over this. This is a big one. But what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else, right? So you have a need. You have a hole, something in your spirit, your soul. It's just not being filled. It's Jesus. Like he is that answer, right? We nod, but I don't know, like when we're on Monday comes, we believe that. And so that's why we're going over this. Like it's Jesus. Like he fills that needy hole. And if he doesn't, you're screwed. You're going to fill it with something else. Something broken. Right? You're going to try to put the square in the round hole and make it fit. You'll wake up with a headache and regret. And disappointment, right? Less money in the wallet, whatever it is you're doing that fills that Jesus-shaped hole, right? But on the other side of that is that what we just read. If God is for us, I mean, can you understand this? God is telling us, I'm for you. And he says it twice. God is for us, and he gave up his own son for us. Who can be against you? Right? He just gave you a for us sandwich. Yes, there's this thing that's going against you, but I've given you a for you and a for you. I am for you and my son is for you. Do you hear the voice of God? He's so safe. And as you press into him and you're like, God, I'm freaking out inside and I have all this distress or this worry or I can't let go of this thing. I want to just turn it loose, but then the next day I can't pick it back up again. He's like, I am for you and I'm for you. Can you take that on both sides and understand that we are going to deal with this thing and be done? I'm not against you. I'm not mad at you because you're feeling stuck. I'm going to set you free because I don't want you stuck. Right? And we bring our broken shame. Oh, I feel I have to admit this to you again. I screwed up again. I repeated this behavior, this pattern, this lie. I fell into the same habit. I fell into the same mistake. I said the same mean thing over again that I promised I wouldn't say again. I said it. Right? And he's not like, all right, 10 Hail Marys, And don't talk to me until tomorrow, till my mercy's new again. Right? Right? He's not that way. He's for you, and he's for you. Who's going to be against you, right? And he, that's not an excuse for the sin. That's just a, hey, come to me and I will give you rest. Like, come to me. Really, dump it. Some of us are coming to him, but we're not really giving it to him. We're like complaining about it. We're saying, it really stinks and I don't like it. I'm going to flog myself in front of you, but now I'm going to take it and go. See you tomorrow, right? And we're repeating it because we're not willing to give it over to him. Take his yoke. Take the rest. Well, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. I mean, I'm struggling, and you just want to like make it easy? You just want to give me rest? Oh, no, it doesn't work. Nothing in life is that good. That's too good to be true, right? No, it's when we totally like, okay, you can have it, and I'm not touching it again. I'm not going to touch it again, right? That's where we find rest. And we understand the for us and the for us surrounding that who's against me sandwich, right? All right, keep going. Okay. Verse 33, who dare accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Do you hear that? That voice of the accuser is saying, you can't be of God because, and he's saying, how does anyone accuse you? Because I already chose you. And guess what? I chose you when you were most dirty, most unpolished, least desirable. That's when I chose you. So you got muck on your shoes after I cleaned you? We're good. Who dares accuse you? You bring him for me. Let me talk to him. Right? We're going to get free. All right. No one, for God himself, has given us right standing with himself. Even in our dirtiness, when we said, Jesus, I need you, he's like, you're right. You and I, we're good. You and I, there's nothing between us. We're good. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Then who will condemn us? Well, put me at the front of the list. I condemn me. Right? I condemn me. I'm the front of my own list. Sure. Thanks, Donna. I repent. I'm being honest, though. I'm being honest. Right? And are you on that list, or do you have a little voice in your head that's like, right? There's a good you and a bad you, and the bad you's always condemning. Right? So no one's going to condemn us, for Christ Jesus died for us. He was raised to life for us. He is sitting in the place of God's right hand, pleading for us. Right? Like, talk about a safe God. He's not only not condemning, but he's praying. He's pleading. That's even a better word than praying, right? There's power in that term. He's pleading for us before the Father. Lord, I love this person. I gave my life for them. They bring me so much joy, and they're stuck. Won't you just get through to the place that they cannot overcome? And won't you speak to them life so that they can let it go? Won't you do it? Like, he's safe. Bring them to repentance. Bring them to recovery. Bring them to, right? Life, abundant life. That's my king. So then when you fully understand that process, then you can go to verse number 35, where you can ask this question: can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us when we have trouble or calamity, when we're persecuted, when we're hungry, destitute, in danger, threatened with death? Does it mean he doesn't love us anymore? No, right? Next slide, please, because there's little dots there. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither life or death or angels or demons or fear of today, nor worries about tomorrow, or even the power of hell itself, right, can stop us from or separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above and the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, when we understand that, yes.
Thank you, God.
Amen, Donna. I'll have what you're having. Amen. Lord. Like, when we can understand that he's not condemning, he's not mean, he's given us right standing, and then he's pleading for us to overcome. He's safe. I apologize. I just seem to have this lifetime, feels like. Why are we doing this? Just to reiterate the lasagna that we're baking. When you hear God's voice, if it doesn't agree with the love we just described, that wasn't God. It was the voice of the condemner. Who is he who condemns from that prior screen, right? Who is he? That's what you need to be saying to yourself. Who is this voice? I don't recognize this voice, and I don't tolerate it in my house. Right? I tolerate the voice of the one who gave everything for me and is still pleading for me before the Father, the one who promised to finish what he started, the one who loves me unconditionally. I'm with that guy. He's with me. Right? And all the other voices go in the trash. Amen. This is good stuff.
And I want lasagna.
You want lasagna? All right. Cool. Let's do a cook-off. Well, you know, the church was built on eating. It was.
Yeah.
It was built on eating. Eating and Jesus, like the two greatest things on earth. Right? All right, so I think we can kind of wind this down. I'm going to make a little note here, and I'll make a little note here because I want to point this one out and then fade us in. In a love relationship, just try this on, okay? I'm gonna give you two sentences, and you can try them both on, almost like you're in the dress room deciding, does that one fit, right? In a love relationship, I want to hear from the Lord in every way he wants to communicate with me. His voice lights up my heart, and I melt in every expression of care that he provides. I think it fits. It fits. All right, here's another one. Ready? See if this one fits. In a legalistic or religious affiliation, I want to limit how I hear from the Lord because what I already know is hard enough. Who needs more opportunities for God to weigh me down with more requirements? Does that one fit? I'd say it's a little frumpy, right? The stripes are in the wrong direction. They don't look good on you, right? But it's important. Why did I say that? Because there are voices speaking, and there are voices that will tell you that as God is going to confront or he's going to address certain areas, you're going to be like, oh, I already am working on this and this and this, and you're going to give me more. I don't want, okay, hold your voice for a minute, right? I got enough on my plate. I over-dramatized, but we all deal with it. We all deal with it. How many of you have ever, like, when you're about to open your Bible, are like, oh, great, where's this one going? Huh? Yes? I got some nods. You can cringe. It's fine to cringe. This is the right time to cringe. This is appropriate cringing.
How much time do I have, Lord, to do this?
I know. Well, I want to remind you to go back to that other place to receive from the one that you've already realized is safe. And the only response to a safe, loving God in your life is the first voice. In a love relationship, I want to hear from the Lord in every way he wants to communicate with me. His voice lights up my heart, and I melt in every expression of care he provides. So whether he's trimming off something that I'd rather him not touch or whether he's blessing my socks off, it's all the best to me because I know that he's safe and he's good and in the end it's going to be great, right? Okay. All right. I think you got it. You got it. All right, good. So then what do you want to pray about? We've got to have a pray for the lasagna. Make you. Oh. Wow. I was about to invite everybody to Donna's house because I thought you were making it. Okay. So here's our responses, and we can throw up the last slide if you don't mind. But God, open a loving dialogue with me on whatever you wish to discuss. Yes, I want to hear it. If it's about my work life, my family life, my business life, my secret life, my prayer life, my Bible life, right? I want it all. I want it. If you want to tell me something really isn't mine, that's fine. If you want to tell me you're about to bless me because I've been faithful in the little, great, I want to hear it all. If you're going to tell me I'm going to win this one, if you're going to tell me I'm going to lose this one, I want to hear it. I know that whatever happens, it's going to be for my good. Because you have plans to prosper me. You have a future and a hope in mind, right? Number two, I need wisdom and guidance. I'll lock onto your loving heart toward me, and I will not change the subject. Lock onto the love of God when you ask. And some of us, we just need praying to pray about that. I have to have a tenacious ability to lock on to the love of God so that when I ask you something, I'm not at the same time mocking you in my brain saying, ah, he's probably not going to tell me. He never does, right? Like the grumpy old men on the Muppets, right? All right, number three, I press into you for clarification and I give you permission to disrupt my logic, my viewpoint, my doctrine, and my traditions. We didn't cover this, but man, if your doctrine isn't allowing for God to speak in a way that allows him to be God, then your doctrine is too small. Okay? That doesn't mean I'm saying, hey, Jesus didn't die on the cross for you. Yes, he did. That's not what I'm getting at. But sometimes, man, doctrine is just stuff. It's just arguments between two really smart people. And you had to pick a side because, you know, your pastor told you to. And now you're stuck saying, I believe he can move in my heart, but my doctrine says he can't do that. He can't say that. He can't give me that. He can't love me that way. Yes, he can. He's God, right? And all the doctrine bows to the authority of Jesus. Right? Amen. So, Lord, I'm going to ask you for clarification. Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, my brothers and my sisters in this place, we need you to speak. We need you to guide. We need you to encourage. We need you to exhort us. We need you to correct us, to refocus us, to reprioritize us. Lord, we need it. If we could do it on our own, we would have done it already. So therefore, we need you. And God, in our need, we realize that you're the one. You're the key. You're the answer. That your plans are good. And so, Father, we come to you. We ask, Lord, first, if there's any part of our doctrine, any part of our belief system, any part of our ability to trust that might try to limit you and push you out and tell you you can't meet the need that way, Lord, that you would silence that thing, that you would put an end to that rage and that opposition, and that, Father, we'd be open to just receiving from the Spirit of God in a safe way that agrees with Scripture, God. Not with doctrine. Lord, if there's a part of us that, Lord, we just believe that you're not loving in some way, maybe that reflects back because we were hurt or abandoned by someone else in our life, and Lord, our subconscious has just learned to not trust or learned that maybe people will just disappear and abandon at the drop of a hat. Well, Lord, it's time for inner healing, and I just ask that you will come and you will just begin to address all of those places where we felt let down, abused or abandoned, oh God, and that you, as you bring healing to that, you set us free and show us that you're not that person and that you are trustworthy, and that when we pray and when we listen, we will listen with the expectancy of knowing we are a person that believes you're trustworthy. We're not talking ourselves into it, God. And Lord, with that, we also ask that you speak and let your church, your people, know your voice, that you'll confirm it, that you'll allow your voice to become a thing that, Lord, the entire body relies upon collectively as well as individually. And that, Lord, as we saw in the scripture, speaking to yourselves in hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts before the Lord, let it just become a thing, like a song coming out of us, Father. The word of the Lord to each other, building each other up, loving each other, and Lord, pulling each other into greater and greater depths of understanding and destiny and purpose in Jesus, I ask. Lord, you're amazing. I want to thank you for your voice. For all the times you spoke when maybe we didn't think you would. Or maybe the times you spoke when maybe we just thought you probably shouldn't. Like we didn't deserve it or something. The times you intervened, God. We worship you. We thank you, God. I'll make the mic available. Is there anyone here who feels like they'd like to add to that prayer? There's a part of you that you feel the Holy Spirit is speaking and you just want to flow in that.